bitch.
Thank you.
Shalom, everybody. Shabbat shalom, folks at home. Shabbat shalom, folks at home. Shabbat shalom, folks on live stream. Shabbat shalom, folks in the living stream. Shabbat shalom, folks in the stream. Shabbat shalom. We had a great service last night. We had a one new man service, and it was awesome. It was an awesome night. Did you have a good time, David? Amen. Did you have a good time, Anna? Amen. Carol, did you have a good time? Amen. If you missed our one new man service last night, it was a good one. We had an awesome time with New Life Baptist Church doing a one new man service. And we're probably going to start doing those on one Friday in a month. But we'll let you know more about it. So let's worship the Lord today. We got Terry with us on guitar and Miss Diane there in the corner.
Shabbat shalom, Rabbi.
Shabbat shalom, Diane.
Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, hey, Shabbat shalom, hey, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Yom Zen Israel, Yom Zen Israel, Yom Zen Israel, Ora Vesemcha, Yom Zen Israel, Ora Vesemcha, Ora Vesemcha.
Monitor down just slightly.
the voice. Thank you. Hallelujah. Let's bless the Lord this morning. Let's bring our offerings to Him, our offerings of praise and worship, and our offerings of the fruit of our basket, and the offerings of our mind and our heart to Him. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu et dorech ha-yeshua b'mashiach yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. House where you dwell, and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. We're going to do the Vishamru, page 45 in your Siddur. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasot et ha-shabbat ledorotom barit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasot et ha-shabbat ledorotom barit olam. B'nei u'b'nei, b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, oti le'olam. Veshamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasot et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam.
Ki sheshet yamim
asa Adonai, eshmayim ve'aretz. Veshamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasot et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam.
Yom ha-shvi'i shabbat b'nefash,
Shavat b'nefash, Shavat b'nefash. Veshamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasot et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, All flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love Him. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace no more. For God will bless them that love Him. So for the sake of the safety,
Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Your word says in Psalm 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They who love her shall prosper. Lord, we just pray, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem and Kol Yisrael, all Israel. And we thank you, Lord, that the peace will come when you come. When you return, Lord, you will establish peace completely, and you'll wipe away the bloodshed and the filth that's in the land. There's murder, there's unclean things going on in your holy land and in your holy city. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to erase that, you're going to cleanse it, and that you're going to remove the scales from your people Israel, from the Jewish people, remove the scales from their eyes, Lord, that they'll see their Messiah, they'll see the crucified one, and they'll realize that the Nazarene, Yeshua, that he was their Messiah all along. And they will mourn for you as one mourns for an only son. And they will come to you and be saved. Many will come and be saved. And so we just give you the praise and the glory and the honor that you save your people Israel. Pray for the American, for those Jewish people in the diaspora and the exile, like the ones here in America. We pray, Lord, for their salvation. Lord, we pray that you would reveal yourself to them, every family, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to people in every family and cause them to read the Brit Chadasha, the New Testament, cause them to seek and to move away from emotion and to actually think about and one question, is Yeshua, is Jesus the Messiah? Who is Jesus related to God? Who is he, Lord? He's a Jewish man who lived 2,000 years ago, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who is this Jesus of Nazareth? And Lord, we just pray also for our leaders. We pray, Lord, that you... I pray, Lord, for the spirit of Isaiah 22, Lord, that the spirit of Shebna would be removed, and the spirit of Eliakim would be put in place, that you would take out the spirit of Shebna and replace it with the spirit of Eliakim, the righteous spirit, Lord, and that you would our movement would just be our leaders and our would walk in righteousness, that our rabbis would preach boldly from the word, preach truth to their people, and feed the sheep, Lord. And we just give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. And thank you for what you're doing. Pray for mom, Lord. I always pray for my mom, Lord, that you just visit her. And just, I've asked her a million times to ask you, who is Jesus of Nazareth, God? God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who is Jesus of Nazareth, and do I need to know? Just ask that simple question, Mom, and I pray that she does. I know you'll show her who you are. In Yeshua's name, amen. And I also want to add a prayer for Greg. His stepmother died yesterday or the day before, and he asked for prayer. So we want to lift Greg up and his family, and just pray that you comfort them. And he asked to pray for the salvation of his father. And that you would just bring a great gospel message, Lord, at the funeral, and bring lead people and his family to you, in Yeshua's name, amen.
And now the Lord says, He who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
For I was born for such a time as
Shema.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Leolam Vahen, V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, V'chol levavcha uv'chol nafshecha uv'chol me'odecha v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele asher nochi mitzvcha hayom al levavecha v'shinatam levanecha v'dibarta bam v'shivtecha b'veitecha uv'lechtecha v'aderech uv'shach b'cha uv'kumecha uk'shartam Liot al yadecha, v'hayula totafot b'nei necha, u'chatav tam, al mezuzot b'techa, u'visharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you are sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Avinu, Malkeinu, Maker of all things, ruling o'er the works of your hand. You loved us all, you sent your Son.
Last week, so I'm going to ask Bill and Isaac to come this morning, and I'm going to take the Torah out.
Mihamora letar bakodesh.
Yamod Yosef ben Aharon ben Yaakov. Baruch et Adonai Hamvora.
Baruch Adonai Hamvrech Olam Va'ed.
Baruch Adonai Hamvrech Olam Va'ed. Baruch et Adonai
Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Natan Lanu Et Torato. Baruch Ata Adonai Noten HaTorah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good thing I have a memory. That was a joke. You can laugh. Okay, two elephants were in a bathtub. One says to the other one, pass the soap. And the other one says, no soap, radio. Shabbat shalom. Okay, today's Torah portion is in Exodus. And I have it here. So let me get to it. Last week was Terumah. And here we are in February. And it's Tetzave. You are to order. Tetzave. Exodus 27, 20 through 30, verse 10. Actually, there's two Torah portions today. But I'm only going to deal with the first one. And so Exodus 27. Hallelujah. You know, have you ever wondered why God built such an elaborate tabernacle in the wilderness? Right here, what we're dealing with last week and this week is the building of the offering for the tabernacle, the gathering of the stuff for the tabernacle, and then the materials for the tabernacle, and we're dealing with the building, the construction of the tabernacle, and then we're dealing with the construction of the elements the menorah, the lampstand, and the bronze laver, and the table of incense, and the showbread, and we're dealing with the priest's garments, the priestly garments, and how God gets into great detail about these things. And did you ever wonder why? What's it all for? What's it got to do with me? It really has a lot to do with you, and has more than you think to do with you, because first of all, the garments of the priests. Let's look in chapter 28 for a moment. Then bring near to yourself Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from whom among the sons of Israel to minister as priests to me, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Itamar, Aaron's sons. You shall make holy garments. You shall make holy garments. And praise the Lord. You shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother for glory and for beauty. Everybody say, for glory and for beauty. And these are the garments, verse 4. These are the garments which they shall make. A breastpiece and an ephod and a robe. And it's beautiful when you see it. I've actually worn the priestly outfit. I've actually had it. Somebody made one and it was beautiful. Rabbi in Knoxville, his wife made it, and it fit me. It didn't fit him, but it fit me. And I have a picture of me wearing it, and a tunic of checkered work, a turban and a sash. They shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons, that he may minister as priest to me. They shall take the gold and the blue and the purple and the scarlet material and the fine linen. They shall also make the ephod of gold, of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen, the work of the skillful workman. It shall have two shoulder pieces joined to its end, that it may be joined. The skillfully woven band which is on it shall be like its workmanship of the same material of gold, of blue and purple and scarlet material. Can you imagine? And fine twisted linen. You shall take two onyx stones and engrave them on them the names of the sons of Israel. Six of their names on one stone and six of their names on the other, according to their birth. As a jeweler engraves a signet, you shall engrave two stones according to the names of the sons of Israel. And then it goes on to talk about verse 13. You shall make a filigree settings of gold, two chains of pure gold. You shall make them of twisted cordage work, and you shall put the corded chains in the filigree settings. You shall make a breastpiece of judgment, the work of a skillful. And it goes on with the breastpiece with the 12 stones, and it tells you what stones are in it. It says, you shall mount on it four rows of stones. The first row shall be of ruby, topaz, emerald, and the second row a turquoise, a sapphire, a diamond, and the third row a jacinth, I don't know how you say that, a jacinth, and agate, and amethyst, and the fourth row of beryl, and onyx, and jasper. They shall be set in gold filigree. I mean, this is very elaborate, isn't it? And you know what it has to do with you? This is how God sees you. This is how the Lord, your God, sees you. He views you. He says, Peter says, we are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation. And Zechariah, the prophet, in under the old covenant, he was brought into the presence of God. And I'm going to Zechariah right now for a moment. I think it's in chapter 2. Zechariah 2. Joshua, the high priest. And it says in verse chapter 3, then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing in his right hand to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. He's the high priest. He's wearing the outfit that I just told you, with all that gold and all those precious stones and all that scarlet and beautiful cloth and blues and purples and all that beautiful outfit that he's wearing with gold and precious stones and God, and it says here he looks filthy. And it says, and remember, this is under the old covenant. He says, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. He spoke and said to those who were standing before him, saying, remove the filthy garments from him. Again he said to him, see, I have taken your iniquity away from you and will clothe you with festal robes. And will clothe you with festal robes. And we see that, we saw that last night. For those of you who went to, we talked about Purim last night at New Life Baptist Church. We talked about the robe that Mordecai, he was clothed with the king's purple robe. He was clothed with festal robes. Amen. God saw Mordecai as a prince. And God sees you as princesses and princes and priests. He sees you as priests and princesses and princes and brides. These are the ways that God views you in different, in his library of terminology for you. Amen. And we need to understand this is how God sees us. Joshua the high priest had to have his sins forgiven, but you've had your sins forgiven, right? And it said they put the royal robes on him. After his sins were forgiven, it says, remove the filthy garments from him. And again said to him, see, I've taken your iniquity away from you. He said, I've forgiven your sins. Now we'll clothe you with the festal robes. Say, God sees me with the festal robes, clean, as far as the east is from the west. Amen. He sees you like royalty. You're part of the royal family. I'm not part of an earthly royal family like the one that's having a wedding in October or whatever, or whenever they're having it. I'm part of a real royal family. Not an earthly one that will pass away. It could pass away in the next generation. I'm part of an actual royal family of God, and this is how he sees me. And these priests that we're looking at in Exodus are, and these, you know, these implements, that's the word I was looking for, the table of showbread, the table of incense, the lampstand, are all types and shadows, pictures of things in the heavenlies. They're earthly pictures of heavenly things. Amen? And so in heaven, there's beautiful, there's things that are beyond our ability to comprehend, because God says the mind hasn't seen, hasn't conceived, nor has the eye seen what God has prepared for those who love him. Amen? But we need to start seeing ourselves as princes and princesses, as priests, and as clothed with royal robes. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, going back, I want to just touch on one thing. I went to in chapter 27 from last week. This week I went to a seminar on kingdom economics, and Dr. Green was teaching on it, and he was teaching on kingdom economics, and it's interesting, he said something, because last week's parsha was in Exodus 25, I believe. Yeah, offerings for the sanctuary. And he said this interesting point in his teaching. He said, he told them, this is an 85-year-old man. He said, the tithe is not for the building. It's not, your tithe is not to pay, meant to pay the building fund. It's not meant to pay the mortgage. Your tithe is not meant to pay the rent. That's what he said. And I was like, wow, never thought of that. I mean, we just take the tithes and the offerings and love offerings, and people send in gifts, and we just lop it all together, and unless they specify it for, it's for, you know, the alms for the poor or something, we put it all in a general fund and we pay the bills, right? Well, let's read here in Exodus 25, see what it says. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me from every man whose heart moves him. You shall raise my contribution. This is the contribution which you are to raise from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, scarlet material, fine linen, goat hair, ram skins, dyed red, porpoise skins, acacia wood, oil for lighting spices, for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod and for the breastpiece. Let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them, according to all that I am going to show you as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of its furniture, just so you shall construct it. Does he say, he says, raise an offering. Does he say, raise a tithe? No, he doesn't say that. Does he say, raise a heave offering? A wave offering? A love offering? No. He says, raise a building fund. Raise a building fund. So we didn't prepare for it last week. We had a box for a building fund. Somebody took it away without asking me, but it was taken away, and I'd like to bring it back. And I want to challenge you to give above your tithes to the building fund so that we can beautify the house of God. So that we can build the house of God and make it lovely and beauty and beautiful, and that we can do things with the house of God and make it the most beautiful building on the street and in the neighborhood. Amen? But I can't do it if we don't care about God's house, if we don't care about the house of the Lord. How can we beautify it? If we just come here, you don't know, most of you, that somebody comes and cleans it once a week. You just come and it's clean. You know, the bathrooms are clean, hopefully, and somebody hasn't gotten to it before you, you know. And the carpets are vacuumed and it's dusted and you just show up. Most people don't know that somebody's come and clean it. And most people don't know that, you know, I don't think about that somebody's come and mowed the lawn and the in the summer months, and there's maintenance going on all week long here. But I want to challenge you that let's make the let's pray about giving a building. Mary Brady was one of our members before she passed away. She used to give every month, every week. She gave, apart from her tithe, somewhere between $50 and $125 to the building fund for probably 14 years. For about 14 years, she gave. She never lived to see this building. She died just before we moved in. She passed away. She never saw it. But she was a lovely woman, and she contributed. She was one of the only people that contributed every single week to the building fund. She got it. She understood what I learned this week. I just learned it. Okay? I just learned it. But I want to challenge you, and I'm going to put a building fund, the box back out, that smaller box. I want to put it back out, okay? Can I get an amen? I don't have a sign. But we're gonna have it back out next week. So anyhow, so that's my drosh for today. God sees you beautifully covered in robes of kingly and priestly robes and princely and beautiful royal robes. He sees you, your sins forgiven. He views you lovely and wearing garments. Heavenly garments, magnificent garments, royal garments, garments that you would never, that those of us would see in a museum. You know, he views you as wearing things that we would never buy. We could never probably afford, most of us, those things. You know, who could afford a breastplate made with precious stones, you know, like that, with, made of gold. Settings with gold, you know, settings and chains, and then filled with precious stones. We buy little tiny ones and we wear them around our neck, you know. I just want to encourage you. That's how God sees you today. Amen. I'm filling in for Anthony today, because I don't have the, please stand for the closing of the Torah. Would you? HaTorah Asher Samoshe Livnei Bnei Yisrael Al Pi Adonai Biad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hands.
Es ha'ilim hi ha'makasikim ba v'tontecha ve'ushar derachecha dorchenom v'drol tivotecha shalom ashimenu
is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen. Could somebody bring my cordless ear mic?
Maybe seated. Want to welcome everyone here this morning. I think we have a couple of visitors. Well, most of us family, but there's Giovanna And Joanna, I haven't seen you in ages. Everybody, Joanna and Giovanna, everybody give them a hand. They're from Johnson City. And they've been in and around our ministry for, I guess, since the beginning, right? And so we're just happy to have them. Giovanna was with us last night. And so it's good to have Joanna this morning. And, of course, we do want to welcome everyone online, those of you first time and those of you regulars online. Thank you for joining in today. And if you'd like to stay in touch and you're not signed up, please go and click on the newsletter or the sign-up button. And you can start receiving all our emails about events and everything that's going on through the email. And we are also on Facebook, so go and like us on Facebook, and you can stay in contact with all the events there as well. Everything will pop up, all the things that we have going on during the week, and all the special events that we have planned, and we always have something going on. So, in addition, we want to invite you. This is our Yehuda Messianic Congregation, if we haven't said it so far, for everybody out there. And we're in Bristol, Virginia. The address is 1128 New Hampshire Avenue. And once again, on the website, www.forzionsake.org, which if you're out there, you know that. That's where you can find directions to come here. And we invite you, especially if you're in this area, to come on out and be with us and to enjoy, worshiping the Lord under the anointing as we are together. It's a little different than watching it on TV, I think. So, praise the Lord. Just a couple of announcements before we continue. Rabbi Joe will be giving his message here in about 30 minutes. So stay tuned for that. And we're going to have a little more worship. The only thing that I want to bring your attention to today, and I believe I've got some flyers out there, is that our Passover banquet is well underway for planning, and we've got tickets all set up on the website again for zionsake.org. All you've got to do is go to the website on the front page and scroll down right by the flyer, like you're seeing this flyer, and then there's a link. You click on the link and it goes right to registration, so it's very easy to get tickets. And adults are 28, 50, children 6 to 12 or 15, children under 5 are free. And if you want to get a table, it's different. I just want to point that out. We've had 10 tables before. Now it's 8 tables, and I believe the price is... That's what I just said. Tables of 8 is what
you
I...
You mean seating at each table?
So yes. 8 seats for a table. We used to have 10 seats to a table. Now it's 8. So it's different. The price is $208. And I believe that's what the price is because I don't have it written here. And it's on the flyers in the vestibule, and it's on the website. So go ahead and sign up and bring a group. You know, you can get a discount at $15 on the table. And bring a group, bring your Sunday school, bring, you know, your friends, family, people who you may want to introduce them to the Jewish roots or Messianic things. So this is a great introduction to Messianic Judaism and also just a wonderful event. It's Saturday, March 31st, and that's the night before Easter, right before Easter. So it's also a nice little celebration around that time of year. And next week is Purim. We may have just a little extra things going on during our Shabbat service. I don't think we have anything other than that planned at this point. We will also have a meeting for Passover, so stay tuned, those of you who are in the congregation, for duties and jobs and volunteering. Okay? Anything else, Rabbi? All right. I'll turn it back over to you. Do we have Oneg this today? How's our Oneg today? Has anybody checked?
Test 1, 2. We do have Oneg. We if do we, have Oneg.
You sure? Okay, if it's not enough,
God will multiply it.
Okay, so we'll check on the Oneg, and if there isn't enough, we'll go out to eat today. But if we're good, we'll have lunch, okay?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I love how the pastor last night had a sign that said, tell the people to say amen. Can I get an amen? It said, I love that sign. I got to get one of those. I only have a little sign that says, get over it. And I'm going to bring it, you know, so that when I'm preaching and I, you know, people need to get over, I'll say, show the sign, get over it. But another one I'm going to get is praise the Lord. I'm going to put that one up. Praise the Lord. So let's try it again. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Okay, so come to the Passover. Bring your friends. If you want to attend an authentic Jewish, Messianic Jewish Passover, Christ in the Passover, Messiah in the Passover, come and hear me. You know, come and hear me teach, and come and celebrate with us at our Passover banquet. We'll have a love offering, a special love offering for the poor in Israel. And it's always a wonderful night. We have the dancers. If you like the dancers from Knoxville, Benot Zion are coming with their pageantry and their flags and their banners. And so they're coming to dance for us. And so we're excited about that. We love it. We always have a great time every year. And so we look forward to it. If you can volunteer, for those who haven't already, to help with the Passover, those who can help set up Seder plates, who can decorate tables, will be going in the day before or so, or Friday, to decorate and set up. Help make the, well, I'll get the eggs boiled, pre-boiled. That we get them. The wonderful thing about modern food service, you can get a bucket of eggs already peeled. Hard-boiled eggs. I wouldn't want a bucket of eggs that weren't hard-boiled, that were peeled. That would not be good. But anyway, God bless those of you who came last night and came again today. I'm blessed that you had the strength to get up this morning, like Terry, who was up at the crack of dawn, and let me know that he was here well before I was. Anyway, we had a great time. Who had a good time last night?
Woo! Amen.
Amen. I don't know. I just felt like, you know, it was like family, you know? It was just... felt like family. Two groups, one church, one Messianic congregation, and there were about 30 of us, and I don't know, it seemed like there were pretty even numbers, you know, and probably 50 of them, but or more, but numbers doesn't matter. It was just beautiful. It was a beautiful night, and we worked together, and we worked as a team. And it was special. It was really wonderful. They cooked dinner for us, and they were very hospitable. So we want to be very grateful to Pastor Bill and his people. Okay, so we're going to take up our tithes and offerings. Okay, we're going to receive our tithes and offerings today. If you're giving the tithes, go... It really doesn't matter where you put it, as long as you mark it on your envelope what you're giving to. But usually the big box is for tithes. The basket, we take a spare change offering for the poor in Israel every week. We give a spare change offering. If you have a few dollars or some change in your pocket that you'd like to give to help the poor people in Israel, we make sure it goes to them as it builds up. We send them a check. So just put something in the basket. As I said, prepare. I want to ask you to pray about giving a building fund offering each month, and pray about what God would have you to give for the building. not the church, the congregation isn't, it's made up of people, not the building, but still our building is an expression of who we are and who our God is. It's an expression to the community of who we are and who our God is to the community. And I've talked to a landscaper about putting beautiful flowers out in front. We have nothing out there. We have just grass. I want to put beautiful either rose bushes or plant a flower garden in front. Make it lovely. And so we're going to, that's something we're going to be working on this next few weeks. So, you know, but that all takes money to do that. So anyhow, if you're online and you'd like to contribute, if you are part of our service and you enjoy the service and you don't have a home congregation, or even if you do and you want to support and be a part of supporting this ministry, you can give online securely through PayPal. We don't see your credit card information. We just, your donation comes in and it goes into the bank, and we don't ever see anything other than your name and where you live, and we send you a receipt, and that's about as far as it goes. We send you a receipt and a thank you, but you're welcome to contribute online. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give back to you. You have given so much to us. You have blessed us exceeding abundantly above all that we could hope, think, or ask. And you have given us the joy of life, Lord, of youth, of midlife, and of old age, and experiencing the different seasons of life, Lord, experiencing the joys of marriage and children, and experiencing the you know, all the different stages many of us have gone through. Some of us haven't married, but that's, you know, Paul says it's better to be single. I'm not saying that if you wanted to be married and that didn't work, that may not comfort you. But I'll tell you one thing, I sure did appreciate when I was single my quiet time with the Lord. And if you are single, I want you to appreciate the quiet time that you have with God that married people and families don't have. It's a special gift that married folks don't have. It's very rare, very precious to have alone time, quiet time with God. And that's special intimacy. So may God bless you as you give. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Jew is Jerusalem. The Messiah is only King. And when in the soul of a Jew he reigns, peace to the city he brings. The heart of a Jew is Jerusalem. The Messiah is only Hashem Adonai. Behold the son of Abraham, sent by God a people to redeem. And when he came forth from Bethlehem, I heard the angels sing. Yeshua, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Bless his name, for his name is good. Yeshua HaMashiach is the name I love. Bless his name, for his name is good. Sanctified us by his blood. Ooh. Now we drink of the wine of joy, filled with the spirit of Adonai, united in the love Messiah brings. Now we sing to Elohim.
That's an oldie but goodie. Amen. And here's another oldie but goodie. We sing a lot of oldies. These are oldie goodie messianic song. There's a lot of new stuff going out there from Israel.
Now, if you feel led to get up and run around the sanctuary, go ahead. Don't let me stop you, okay? If you feel led to get up and just run around the sanctuary, praising the Lord, shouting, you have my blessing.
Oh, wake up, it's right now. Put up thy slumber, and the truth shall set you free. For out of Zion, up Zion, deliverer, in the year of Jubilee. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. For in the furnace of much affliction, I have chosen thee, behold, and I'll give thee silver, and for brass I'll give thee gold. They shall come back to their land. Hey, let's all stand up. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Come on, praise Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, 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 praise the Lord.
Victory, with God, we'll gain the victory.
your sword. Victory belongs to the Lord. Come on, everybody, sing it with me. With God, the King of victory. With God, scatter the enemy. With God, the King of victory. God will gain the victory. Again.
With God,
the King of victory. With God, scatter the enemy. With God, the King of victory. With God will gain the victory.
If God be for you, who can be against you?
Come on, let's see you young boys run around the sanctuary. Who's the fastest? Come on, Billy. Let's see how fast you are.
If God be for you, who can be against you? The victory belongs to the Lord. If God be for you, who can be against you? The victory belongs to the Lord. With God, look in the victory. With God, step to the enemy. With God, look in the victory. With God, we'll gain the victory. With God, we'll gain the victory. With God, step to the enemy. With God, we'll gain the victory. With God, we'll gain the victory.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! You know, I fell out of bed this week. I fell out of bed. I fell off my bed. And I jumped up and I slipped and I fell. And I crashed on my knee and I couldn't get up. And I was like, oh Lord, I've fallen. Help! I've fallen and I can't get up. And finally, nobody was home and I pulled myself up and I iced my knee, which I cut. And after I iced my knee, I got up, and a short time later, I felt pain in my side. And because of the cancer, they're always feeling that area of my side, telling me to check in my spleen. I thought maybe I'd hurt my spleen. And so we had an appointment in Johnson City, and Dawn took me, went to our appointment, and we went to go get some lunch, and ended up, instead of lunch, we ended up outside the Cancer Institute. So I went to the Wellmont Cancer Institute, and they wouldn't touch me, feel my spleen. Then they said, go to the urgent care, and the urgent care wouldn't look at me. So I called my doctor in Bristol, and he said, go to the emergency room. So I went to Franklin Woods, and they did a CAT scan with contrast. They said, there's nothing wrong with your abdomen. We've done your whole abdomen. Everything's fine. So maybe you pulled a muscle or something. But they took blood tests, and here's the silver lining. The blood test showed that I am in remission. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. I'm in remission. My counts could still go up. They have a ways to go, but I am technically in remission. My neutrophils are at a level that is above normal. And so I thank God. I praise God. I'm in remission.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So, praise the Lord.
May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the God of the name of Jacob protect you. We will shout for joy when you are victorious. Support from Zion.
You just need a little help from heaven. So we got to storm the sanctuary. Amen. We got to get into that place of warfare. And we're not warring against God, we're warring with God. And he's sending his angels, and we got to just ask God to bring that supernatural help. The extra angels, right? To beat off the evil attack upon us. And the attack can be very strong. But God will always make a way for us, even though it looks like we're losing the battle.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways.
Close to inside.
the seas. So I'll say that. Lord, part the seas.
Lord, part the seas.
Part the seas for us, Lord. Make a way for us. Make a way, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
That, I don't see a red line. Are you on?
Thank you. Okay, we're going to go to the Lord's table. And if you're watching at home and you'd like to join us, we're going to go to the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord. And if you have some matzah or crackers or bread and some fruit of the vine of your choice, you want to get it ready, we're going to start making our way to the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord. And we invite you to join us for communion. So let's step over here. And hallelujah. And I'm going to ask Anna and Sharon, would you like to serve today? Okay. Why don't you ladies come on up and just stand right over here. And I'm going to bless the juice. And... bread. Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Peri Hagafen Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Amotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. Hallelujah. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the middle layer of matzah, unleavened bread, at every Passover table, and he took that middle layer we call the afikomen, and it's the bread taken after the meal. He broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then Yeshua took the cup, the third cup of the Passover meal, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin." Poured out for the forgiveness of sin. And by doing this, he forever changed the meaning of Passover by demonstrating to us what he was going to do on the cross, equating the bread to his body and his stripes and his brokenness. Not that he was broken. He didn't have broken bones, but he was broken. And the blood representing that his blood was poured out for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So we invite all believers to come to the table of the Lord. You don't have to be a member of this congregation. We invite everybody who's a believer to come. If you believe that God is sent his son, Yeshua, Jesus, who he gave all authority under heaven and earth, all divine authority to his son, and his son was crucified and died, and buried for 3 days and three nights in the tomb, and he rose from the dead on the third day. If you believe that and you have a relationship, you know him and you pray to him, then we invite you to come. Before we do, let's bow our heads. If you're at home, if you don't know Yeshua, let's just bow our head. If you don't know Yeshua, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Just raise your hand. If you don't know Yeshua, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, as your Messiah, just raise your hand and we'll pray together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay. If you're at home and you don't know him, all you have to do is simply from your heart ask, just say this, pray with me. Dear God, I believe that you sent
Yeshua.
Jesus, to die for my sins. I've messed up. I confess. I've transgressed. I've broken your laws. I'm not perfect. I'm willing to admit I failed you. And I need you, just like that priest we heard about before, Joshua, to forgive my sins. Make me clean. And put my name in your book of life. Forever. In Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
If you prayed that prayer for the first time, let us know. Please contact us. Even if you're just watching, and you let us know you're out there. Message us on Facebook, comment, send us an email. Let us know you're online watching. If you accepted the Lord today, I have a special gift for you. So just comment, get in touch with us, okay? God bless you, and God bless you all. As you come, ladies, I want to ask you to prepare, and folks, come as you're ready, okay? Amen.
Thank you.
There we go. There I am. Well, it's an interesting week. Reverend Billy Graham passed away a couple days ago, and I believe he's probably the last of his generation of men of stature of his generation, men like Oral Roberts. Maybe some aren't as meaningful to others, and others are more meaningful to some. But Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin passed away years ago, and Lester Summerall and Norville Hayes, Jack Hayford, all have passed in the last couple of years. Yeah, and now the Reverend Billy Graham. I've been privileged to know his grandson, Will Graham. Will spoke at the Bristol Motor Speedway. He gave a sermon, and I was asked to deliver the invocation, the opening prayer. And so I met Will Graham 10 years ago, and for the first time. He was just a young fella. I sat with him during the race. We got sat together. And then he's coming to Bristol, Tri-Cities, Mountain Empire, to do a celebration and preach in April 27th, 28th, and 29th. I want to make you aware of that, that Will Graham is coming to the Tri-Cities. He'll be at Freedom Hall April 27th, 28th, and 29th. And so I encourage you to come to as many of those services as you can. And if anyone's interested in being a counselor, there's still some opportunities to go. I've been slack in letting you know when the training sessions are to be a counselor to help lead people to the Lord. But if not, you can always pray for them. And it's good just to attend the service. But anyway, I've met Will several times since. I'm on the steering committee for the celebration. And I believe he's the mantle is going to fall to him to preach. You know, Franklin never became a great preacher as much as he did a great humanitarian. And there hasn't been, other than Ann Graham Lotz, there hasn't been a real preacher in the family besides Billy Graham. And then Ann's getting older, and I believe the mantle is falling to Will Graham, and I'm seeing a greater anointing in him. So hopefully, we pray for the family. It's just a month and a half ago he told us in a room here in Bluntville that he said that his grandfather was doing well, but he passed in his sleep, and that's the way it is. So, yeah, he had a good life. You should all have a one hundredth of his life just to experience some of the things he experienced. Amen. A life well lived and a life well planned. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to pray for Diane and David. I believe David was having a diabetic episode, and they had to leave. So let's lift them up. Father, we just lift up Diane and David to you. And we pray, Lord, for whether his sugar was up or down, that you regulate his blood sugar, that you just help him in his time of distress. Help Diane to help him, Lord, whether he needs insulin or something to eat. Whatever it is he needs, that you help them. And just help him through right now. We pray for David, Lord, and heal him. Heal his body, Lord. Heal his pancreas and regulate his blood sugar and restore him to health and give him rest today, Lord. We pray for a good report. We ask for a good report today in Yeshua's name. Yeshua's name. And Lord, I pray for the children. I just pray we're not going down today. We had a lot of folks out last night. Some didn't come back today. And so we don't have as many kids with us today, but we're just going to pray, Lord, bless our children. Bless them coming in and bless them going out. Bless them in the city. Bless them in the country. Bless them in school. Bless them in the sporting arena. Bless them, Lord, as they do their homework. Bless them and give them wisdom, divine, supernatural wisdom, great wisdom, Solomonic wisdom, as they speak in class, as they do their papers, and as they answer questions in class. Lord, protect them. As we've seen this horrible shooting last week, protect our children in school. Lord, help us. To me, the answer is quite simple. They have the TSA at airports going through bags. People go through metal detectors, and you never see an airplane shot up. Harden the schools. That's the answer. Harden the schools. You're never going to stop guns. Guns are like drugs. If they're not sold legally, they're going to be sold illegally. And bad people are always going to get a hold of them and do bad things. So you can try all you want, and you can take one gun away, but there's going to be other guns. And there's 300 million plus guns in this country. Unless you go and try to take every single one of them away, which you're never going to succeed in doing. If you really want to help our kids, harden the schools. Develop a program for veterans who need jobs. And test them psychologically. Arm them. And put metal detectors in schools. Go through the bags. To me, it's a no-brainer. It may take longer. It may cost a little money. Use lottery money to do it. Use lottery money to do it. But put those metal detectors in schools, harden the schools, protect the kids, get sheriffs who have courage and not like the Frady Cat sheriff in Florida who wouldn't even go in, the coward who wouldn't even go in and protect the children. If the coach who got in front of the kids to defend them, the football coach, had a gun, he had a permit. Couldn't carry the gun in school. If he had his gun with him, we might have a living hero today instead of a bunch of dead people. We might have a hero today instead of a dead football coach. So that's the truth. Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. What I want to talk about today is the conclusion of what my message last night was, Esther and the one new man. And I want to point some things out to you. So Sabbath is a day. You know, I was at a Baptist church conference on kingdom economics. This past week, I was in a Baptist church conference on kingdom economics. And the man who was teaching kept saying all through the week that Saturday is the Sabbath. Every day, every night, he would say Saturday is the Sabbath. Well, he knew I was there. And maybe he was doing it to, you know, he's pro-messianic. He's very pro-Israel. And oh, by the way, welcome folks on Facebook. Didn't know you were there. We're glad to see you. Glad to have you with us. Anyway, so this man, I'm going to turn the air down just a hair, but he was saying that Saturday is the Sabbath, and that's true. Saturday is the Sabbath, and if you go to Matthew 28, you'll read that on the morrow after the Sabbath, the women went to the tomb, and they saw an angel, and the angel said, what are you looking for? This Jesus, this Yeshua, he's not here. He is risen. And they saw the stone rolled away, and it was the first day of the week. It's very clear, even in the New Testament, Matthew 28. The Sabbath is Saturday, starts Friday night. Doesn't mean you can't worship on Sunday. Doesn't mean you can't worship on Monday. Doesn't mean whenever two or more are gathered is worship. But as I've always said, the 4th of July isn't Veterans Day. Columbus Day isn't Memorial Day. Christmas isn't Hanukkah. And
April Fool's isn't the 4th of July, and Sunday isn't Sabbath. That said, God would rather see you people, he would rather see us, the one new man, Jew and Gentile, worshiping together, whether it's on the Sabbath or another day. He'd rather see us together because God's more interested. How many of you know God's more interested in people than days? God's more interested in people than days. He's more interested in you than what day you worship. Now, he promises blessings for worshiping on the Sabbath, and many of you have received the revelation. Children of Israel in Exodus 16, they received a double portion on the Sabbath. And God, I believe, gives us a double portion on the Sabbath. And we see it when we get two messages. Anthony speaks, and then I speak. Today, you're getting me twice because Anthony's not here. But so you get a double portion on the Sabbath. But that's what God's promise is, to give us a double portion. I believe he means spiritually. But also in the natural too. So that's one of the blessings of the Sabbath. God says that he blessed the Sabbath day and he made it holy. It's the only day of the week. I believe it's Exodus 31. God says, I have blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. Set apart. From all other days of the week, God set the Sabbath apart. And he never changed that. He never stopped. You know, people hang on one scripture. And it bothers me in Christianity that churches, whole denominations, hang on one scripture. You know, on one verse. You got to take the whole Bible. You can't just take one verse and build a denomination. And you know, it's crazy. And I'm not going to get into those verses. I'm just going to say that, you know, if somebody says you need to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, another person says you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus only, or another person says, if you're not baptized in my church, you're not saved. You know, all these rules and regulations, and it's all man-made. You know, when I baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and Yeshua the Messiah. I cover all my bases. Amen? That way I don't tick anybody off. Praise the Lord. And make sure I cover, because you know, I baptized in the Jordan River more than I've baptized here in the United States. And funny thing, I love all that when I baptize in the Jordan River, more people come, strangers from all over. Last year, I was baptizing in the Jordan River, and an Englishman came, and he said, "Would you baptize?" He was a pilgrim. He was all alone. He said, "Could I join your group? Would you baptize me?" Every time that I've baptized in the Jordan River, somebody, a pilgrim from somewhere in the world, has come and said, "Would you baptize me?" And it's a beautiful thing, and it really is a beautiful thing. We're hoping to take a trip next fall to Israel. It'll be probably our 9th or 10th trip that we've led, and we hope that people would join us. Many have asked about us. If you're interested in going to Israel with us, I lead the spiritual part and I have a guide to lead us on the historical part of the trip. I enjoy the spiritual journey, meeting the Lord in Israel and experiencing God in Israel. And I take you to special places that sometimes other people don't go. If you're interested, let us know, and we'll send you information when we have our brochure put together. But moving along, so Sabbath is not about a day of the week. It's about Jew and Gentile uniting in worship. Now, if we do it on the Sabbath, God promises that the Gentile who does it, turn to Isaiah 56. This is God's promise to the non-Jew who keeps the Sabbath. Isaiah 56. verse 2, how blessed is the man who does this and the son of man who takes hold of it, who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner, who's that?
Gentile.
The Gentile. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. So when he's talking to Isaiah, the people of God are the Jews. And it's the Old Testament. People of God are the Jews. And he's saying, let not the foreigner who's joined himself to the Lord, who's converted, who's a proselyte to Judaism and to the God of Israel, let not the foreigner say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. That would like me saying, if you're not Jewish, you can't come here. I never say that. And he's saying, he's crying out, please let the Lord not separate me from his people. Let the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dry tree, for thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant. To them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than that of sons and daughters. You know, you've heard messages from Romans on sonship. You've heard messages on being a son of, or daughter of God. Well, God says here, he'll give you a name better than sons and daughters. Praise God. I don't know what name that is, but that's good stuff. Better, I like better. Do you like better? How many of you like better? I mean, I like good. There's good, better, and best. Amen? Who likes the best? Praise God. Who likes better? I do. Good's all right. Even a bad day at the beach is still pretty good. All right. So God says he'll give you a name better than sons and daughters and a memorial in his walls if you keep his Sabbaths. He'll give you, non-Jewish people, I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. Wow. And all the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath. Well, let me tell you, in the days of Isaiah, if you wanted to keep the Sabbath, you had to do something. What did you have to do? You had to go to the temple or a synagogue. In Acts 15, in the Jerusalem Council, we're told that when James declared, you know, what we needed, the four rules for Gentiles to have fellowship with the Jews, he said Gentiles must abstain from eating blood, must abstain from fornication, must abstain from animals that are strangled, must abstain from food that is sacrificed to idols. And then he goes on and he says, for Moses is preached in every city. For Moses is preached in every city. So if you want more, this is the bottom line to fellowship with Jews. Avoid blood, avoid strangulation, avoid fornication, avoid food that's sacrificed to idols. That's the minimum requirement for fellowshipping with Jews, believers, Messianic Jewish believers. But if you want more, come to the synagogue. If you want to learn, the Word of God, come to the synagogue. And that's where the Word of God was, because there was no such thing as a church when James said that. There was no church in the council, in the Acts Council, Acts 15. There was no church. You couldn't go to the Presbyterian Church or the Pentecostal Church. They didn't exist. So if you wanted to hear the Word of God, you had to go to the synagogue. Praise God. And if you went to the synagogue and you joined with the Jewish people, you were joining with the Jewish people and celebrating the Sabbath. Or if you went to the temple, there was a court of the Gentiles. He says, even those Gentiles I will bring to my holy mountain, verse 7, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples. The Lord God who gathers the dispersed of Israel declares, yet others I will gather to them, to those already gathered. All you beasts of the field, all you all you beasts in the forest, come to eat. His watchmen, well, that, I've pretty much said it. So their burnt offerings, even those I will bring to my holy mountain, he says, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. He'll accept your burnt offerings in his house. And his house in Jerusalem will be called a house of prayer for all nations. This is what God promises for the foreigner, for the non-Jew who keeps the Sabbath. So do you have to do it? Well, you do it because God calls you to. You come because God calls you to come and join. You're welcome here. Turn to Numbers 15. And I have to go over this because people, it's just, some people just don't get it. And God's not interested in Christians playing Jewish. God is not interested. It does not please God for Christians to do the Sabbath when there's Jews in town they could do it with. It is not pleasing to God for Christians who have no who aren't raised Jewish, who aren't sent out, who are not ordained, who are not sent out by Messianic Jewish leaders, who have no authority, who have no covering, who have no ordination, who have no proof of lineage, nothing. Who say that they're Jews or Israelites, and they have these, and they study Torah, they learn Hebrew, they wear tzitzit, and they this is all over the country and around the world. It's like the wheat and the tares. And Revelation 3 says, "I will say to those from the synagogue of Satan, those who say they are Jews but are not, I will make them come and bow at your feet," says the Lord. I will make them come and bow at your feet. And they will come and bow at our feet one day, not because I say so. Joseph said the same thing to his brothers. "You're going to bow at my feet." And they said, "Oh, really?" And they threw him in a pit. Okay, but what did they do? Eventually, 13 years later, they bowed at his feet. Okay? And God says this prophecy of the synagogue of Satan is today, is for today. It's for the phony synagogues. If I started a Baptist church here and said, got a King James 1611 Bible and started preaching like a Baptist preacher and claimed that this is a New Hampshire Avenue Baptist church, I'd be a liar. If I got a collar on and said I was this was New Hampshire Avenue Lutheran Church, I'd be lying. I'm not a Lutheran. I'm not a Methodist. I'm not in the Assemblies of God. I'm not a Pentecostal. I may be spirit filled, but I'm not Church of God. I'm not in the Assemblies of God. I'm a Messianic rabbi, and this is a Jewish house. And when you come into a Jewish house, it's customary in Israel, in the Middle East, when you come into a Jewish house, when you go to Israel, if you go out in the wilderness and you visit a Bedouin, the Bedouins are the closest thing you'll find to Abraham wandering and Isaac and Jacob wandering in the desert, okay? It's the closest thing you'll find. The Bedouins, if you go and stop at a Bedouin tent, you'll see their donkeys, and they're collectors. They collect parts. They have build tents. They build these little villages in the middle of the desert. And so you go and you stop, and they'll offer you hospitality. And and they'll offer you coffee, and they'll make you sit down. You have to do it. You can't say no. And you sit down on the floor on a pillow, and they sit on the floor on a pillow around a table, and they'll bring you maybe some dates or figs. And they'll bring you almonds, and they'll bring you a coffee, delicious Turkish coffee. They'll bring to you and serve you. And if you have a pretty daughter, they might offer 50 or 100 camels for your daughter. Try getting out of that one. My sister was offered, they offered my parents a bunch of camels for my sister one time when she was in her 20s. It's not uncommon for Arab men to offer camels. It's traditional, for I'll give to pay a dowry to the father, I'll give you 50 camels. It's insulting if he doesn't offer enough. But, you know, 50, 75 camels, that's a pretty good price. You know, 25 camels, no way. Okay? All right. So this is what God's promising, these blessings. Numbers 15, the law of the sojourner. I know some of you have heard this, but you need, some of you haven't. You need to get this in you. This is what this is all about. This is Messianic Judaism right here. If an alien, who's the alien? The Gentile. If an alien sojourns with you, or one who may be among you throughout your generations, and he wishes to make an offering by fire, what did it say in Isaiah 56? Your burnt offerings will be accepted on my altar if you keep my Sabbaths. Well, and if you keep his Sabbaths, where are you going to be? In the synagogue or the temple, right? In that case, he was kind of referring to the temple. With the Jews. So you're going to be in the temple with the Jews, and if you keep my Sabbath, your burnt offerings will be accepted. That's pretty good. Amen? Considering in those days, it said, and we'll read it in Ephesians 2, that the Gentiles had no covenant, no promise, no hope, and when they were without God in the world, the Bible says. They had no covenants of promise. They had no relationship with God, no hope, and they were without God in the world. So God is saying to them, if you sojourn, if you dwell with the Jewish people, and the Lord is your Lord. You see, too many people come to me and they say to me, Rabbi Joe, I got Jesus. I don't need anything else. Okay, if you want a hamburger, when you could have a steak or filet mignon, go for it. But we got a McDonald's church out there that's happy to. I've had one lady said to me, I got into a discussion, very pleasant. You know, I was just trying to make a point to her. She was bringing someone who was an apostate to this city to speak, and I tried talking to her, and so finally she just said to me, I'm just a dumb old Baptist. Just said, I'm a dumb old Baptist. Well, don't be a dumb old Baptist. Wake up, read your Bible, pray about what I'm saying, think, and stop what you're doing. You don't have to be a dumb old Baptist. I went one preached in a Baptist church one time. I love the Baptist, don't get me wrong. But I preached in one Baptist, a little Baptist church out in Johnson City. And the guy, the preacher used to say, I'm just an old coal bucket. They call me Coal Bucket. I never could call him Coal Bucket. He was the preacher. You know, remember, God sees you clothed in royal robes. He doesn't see you as a coal bucket. Amen. Let's read Numbers 15, 14. If an alien sojourns with you, or one who may be among you throughout your generations, and he wishes to make an offering by fire as a soothing aroma to the Lord, just as you do, he shall do. As for the assembly, there shall be one statute for you, for the alien who sojourns with you, a perpetual statute throughout your generations. As you are, so shall the alien be before the Lord. In other words, if a Gentile dwells with you, he will get all the benefits and rights of a Jew. It says, verse 16, look at this. There's to be one Torah, one law, and one ordinance for you and for the alien who sojourns with you. Isn't God good? It doesn't matter if you're Italian, German, Mexican. It doesn't matter if you're French, if you're Czechoslovakian, if you're Serbian, if you're African, if you sojourn with the Jewish people, and God will, and not just any Jews, particularly the Messianic Jews, and particularly the ones that he sent. Now, I would submit to you, we're the only Messianic synagogue in 100 miles. Asheville's the next one, and then Knoxville's the next one after that. There is no other Messianic, authentic Messianic synagogue. What there are houses of people, mostly who learned from me. Then they left me and they're not Jewish, and they started keeping, you know, they started groups where they keep Jewish holidays. That's not what God is interested in. God, I will swear to my dying day, to the day I fly away, I will keep preaching this to you. God is not interested in seven. If he was, he would, Seventh-day Adventists and Worldwide Church of God who keep the feasts, Seventh-day Adventists who keep the Sabbath. I said, God, why did you bring me here? You have all these groups. You have Seventh-day Baptists, Worldwide Church of God who keep the feasts. You have the Seventh-day Adventists who keep the Sabbath. You have every church on every corner. What do you need me here for? And God showed me, and I'll explain it. I'll show it to you why I'm here. But the good news is the law of the sojourner, where it says in verse 16, there's to be one Torah, one law and one ordinance for you who come and dwell with us, as there is for us. You are no different. When you sojourn, when you dwell with us, you're like us. I don't look at Sharon and say, there's Sharon the Gentile. Amen. You know, I don't look at Earl and say, there's Earl the Gentile. You know, I just see, there's my brother Earl who needs prayer today, and we need to pray for him before we leave. You know, there's Earl and there's Bill and there's Terry and there's Anna. You know, I don't see you as I don't look at you by your, you know, whether you're Jewish. And let me tell you what Jewish is. Jewish is not an ethnicity. Jewish is an ethnicity. Italian is an ethnicity. Irish is an ethnicity. God created the ethnicities. At Babel, God separated the tongues. God created the nations. God separated at Babel. He created the languages. He created the boundaries of nations. And God gave us the French. God gave us the Germans. God gave us the Spanish. God gave us the Italians. And God gave us the Jews. Now, the Jews just happen to be the one nation of people in the world that God gave their culture was his culture. No other culture, no other nation, no other people, no other tribe was given from God the oracles to teach the nations who the God of Israel is. That's why the Jewish people were chosen. Because we were chosen to tell the nations who the God of Israel is. And you know, some churches get fancy and they're into pinball machines and coffee hour and donuts and Starbucks, you know, shops in their churches. And what, you know, I said last week, ask not what your church can do for you. Ask what you can do for your church. Ask not what your synagogue can do for you. Ask what you can do for your synagogue. You know, as a good Bostonian who's been mistaken for a Kennedy many times growing up, seriously, I have. One time I walked out of a building in Boston. I was in a library, and I'm walking down the stairs of this old building, stone stairs, and I'm walking out of the building, and a man came up and grabbed my hand and started shaking it. And I had curlier hair, brown hair, and Joe Kennedy had curly brown hair, and I was skinnier, and just, I guess you could say maybe I resembled some, you know, some people thought I resembled the Kennedys. So anyway, this guy grabbed my hands and started shaking me. And he said, Joseph P. Kennedy. He was the congressman. He was the son of Robert Kennedy. He was the congressman in Massachusetts, one of two or three congressmen. I said, no, Joseph D. Bell. And another time I had a girlfriend from Wellesley College. She was a very tall girl. She was about 5'11", pretty girl from Glens Falls, New York, and Austin, Texas. And she was an Irish girl. She had freckles. And I went out to an Italian restaurant with her in the north end of the Italian section of Boston. They thought I was one of the Kennedys. So they took, we got really good tables that night, I'll tell you. So it happened to me many times. And one time I was in front of my dad's furniture store, and they were dedicating a building that they had taken over, an apartment building that the city had taken over for public housing, and they were cutting the ribbon. Congressman Kennedy came, and he parked right in front of the store. So I was standing in my dad's furniture store in the tough neighborhood of town. You know, if you ever watched Black Mass or The Departed or you know, any of those Ben Affleck, Matt Damon type movies, I don't recommend that you watch them. They're pretty creepy. But Whitey Bulger, the Syndicate, organized crime is pretty big in that area where my dad's store was. And I grew up right around it. Thank God they never shook us down like they did to other people. But, you know, that was the neighborhood we worked in. That was where my dad's store was. And anyway, so I'm standing out front, and they're dedicating the building, and then there's a car in front of the building. It was Joe Kennedy. And he came, when he finished the ceremony, he ran over to his car, and then he skipped getting in, and he ran over to me, grabbed my hand, and he said, "I'm Joe Kennedy." And I said, "I'm Joe Bell." And I could have told, I wanted to tell him all the people that think I was him. But anyway, I just said, "Nice to meet you." Funny, ironic story. But anyway, I mostly get mistaken for Peter Brady or Matthew Broderick. Or at least I used to. Coach McCartney from Promise Keepers put his arm around me one time at lunch. We had lunch with him and a bunch of people, and I wanted to meet Coach McCartney from the Promise Keepers a few years ago, and so I asked somebody to introduce me to him, and he was from University of Colorado, and they had won the national championship once or twice back in the 90s. And he was a very famous coach. And he put his arm around me, and he said, "Man, you'd have made a good tackle." That's what he said. At first, I was like, very, like, wow, that's really cool coming from Coach McCartney, you know. But then I thought to myself, well, why didn't he say running back or wide receiver, you know? He didn't say that. tackle. Oh, sorry, Isaac. You got the jeans. What's that? What do you play? Tight end. All right. Praise God. So anyway, let's go on. I always played tackle. So you are entitled to the full faith and credit and benefits of being a citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel. Turn to Ephesians 2. People don't understand this, and this is, I said this last night, people have come up to me through the years and said all kinds of things. One thing they say to me, they say, "Rabbi Joe," I said, "praise God, brother, you're a completed Jew." And I feel like saying to them, and actually I do start saying that, now I say to them, I've gotten older. When I was younger, I just said, "Thank you." But now I say, "Yes, I am, and are you a completed Christian?" The way Jews are treated who believe in Jesus is like we're like little children and morons. You know, we're not little children and morons. God told me, "I've given you much, and much is required of you." And that's what He told me when He twenty-two years ago, to whom much is given, much is required, and I'm going to expect a lot from you, pal. Verse 11 of Ephesians 2. "Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Messiah, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Messiah Yeshua, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one, breaking down the barrier of the dividing wall. And originally in the book of Acts, they were one. Paul went to Corinth. Paul went to Thessaloniki. Paul went to Galatia. Paul went to all these places and started messianic synagogues, or later on they became churches. He started gatherings of people, of believers, Jew and Gentile. Do you think Paul, who was trained in all this Jewish stuff more than me, do you think that he taught them pagan things? Do you think he taught them about Ishtar, the fertility goddess, where we get the name Easter? Do you think that's what Paul taught them? Do you think Paul taught them about Mithraism? And do you think Paul taught them about Christmas and Mithraism and Saturnalia, the two pagan holidays that Christmas comes from? Paul, the Pharisee who was trained by Gamaliel, one of the highest rabbis in Jewish history, he went to Mars Hill, where the Greeks were, where the pagans lived, and not only the pagans, the elite pagans, and he saw a tomb or a statue made to the unknown god, and instead of teaching them and saying, "Hey guys, Saturn's a great," he didn't say, "Hey guys, Artemis of the Ephesians, yoo-hoo!" He said, "Let me tell you about this unknown God, this God you don't know about. His name is Yeshua, Jesus." That's what he said. "And he died for your sins, and he was buried 3 days, and he rose from the dead." You see? "And if you believe in him, you'll have eternal life. And he's the living God. This unknown God. You don't know the real God, the true God, the living God." He didn't go. And Paul wasn't a pagan. And Paul was beaten up for preaching about Yeshua. He went to the temple of Diana, Dionysus, and they beat him up and kicked him out of the city and stoned him, right? And he went to the temple of Dionysus and he preached against the pagan goddesses, and they tried to kill him because why? He was going to put them out of business. These idol makers. He was going to put them out of business. Paul was not a pagan. Paul didn't teach pagan things. He taught Jewish things. Paul celebrated Passover. He was always going back to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. On Saturdays, he was going to the synagogue. Paul was a Jew. He was a messianic Jew. Who knew? Okay, so here we see, so we're reading in Ephesians 2, "But now in Messiah Yeshua, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall." Were they one in the book of Acts? Yeah, they were. They were one. Jew and Gentile, they were one. When Paul went and converted people, Gentiles, Paul and Silas, and the jailer was converted, and Peter converted Cornelius and all the people in his house, and they worshiped together and they fellowshiped together. Jew and Gentile were one in the Messiah, just like we were last night. Amen? Amen. Apart from last night and most events, except for Passovers and stuff, throughout the year, are we one? No. Is the church and the Messianic Jewish community one? Not yet. No. You see these places where they could be? Where are they? They're not. We're not one. You're one. I'm one with you. But we're missing about 10,000 people that should be here. Why aren't they here? It's not because they haven't heard. We've been preaching it. I had a TV show for 3.5 years, reaching 10 million homes in 5 states. People still come up to me to this day and say, I wish you were back on WLFG. I've had people come up to me and say, God called me to come to your congregation, and they never come. And people say to me, they make excuses all the time. I know I'm supposed to be there. And even people have even joined, and they don't come. And they don't show up. You know, that's not sojourning. God is not mocked. God is not deceived. God sees the heart. And I'm going to tell you something I learned from this preacher on Kingdom Economics. He said, God's word is line upon line, precept upon precept. And if you are called to be in the house of the Lord, whether it's a messianic synagogue or a church, and you miss service, you're missing God. Amen. If you, God preaches line upon line, precept upon precept. He builds, every sermon builds on itself. Yeah. Everything builds, the word of God builds, the teaching builds. And people who blow it off and don't come, who are called to be there, don't attend the church of your choice. Attend the church of his choice or the messianic synagogue. And if you miss it and you blow it off, you miss God. For, not the rabbi or the preacher. You miss God. And you're going to have to answer to him why you went and played golf and missed his word. And if you didn't get a word or a healing that you, because you blew it off, that's your problem, pal, not his. He has something for you every week or every service. You just need to be there. Amen? Amen? And you need to make every effort to be at every service you can be at. And when you miss it, you aren't missing me. You're missing God. Amen. You're missing God. And you know what that does to you? It makes you, it dumbs you down. It makes you a little bit more ignorant. Makes you a little bit more ignorant. Everybody who does it. Millions of people. I'm not talking about people here. I'm talking about everybody. Makes you a little more ignorant. Because God will speak. Is God speaking to you now? Has anybody... raise your hand if God has spoken through this service and you've gleaned something. Something that God taught you in this service. Just raise your hand if you've gotten anything from it. Okay, praise the Lord. Most of you have. So, let's go on here. Ephesians 2. So we're not, it says that we're, he himself is our peace who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier. But have we been one? Have the Jews and the church been one for the 1800 years for the most part? Did Martin Luther, after he turned on the Jews, and said that we should, at the end of his life, he said they should burn, we should burn their sacred books, we should burn down their buildings and until break the stones till they turn into dust, we should kill them, the Jewish people. That's what he said, Martin Luther, and his writings inspired Adolf Hitler. His writings were some of the writings that inspired Adolf Hitler. Have we been one? I don't think so. God made us one. We used to be one in the book of Acts and Ephesians. What we said, no thanks. And in 325, Constantine the emperor and the bishops kicked the Jews out of the congregation, out of the assembly. We were kicked out. And when we were kicked out, I used to think that the Gentiles, Eusebius and other bishops, Victor of Rome, the Bishop of Rome, Eusebius, Bishop, other early church fathers, I used to think that they ended the Sabbath and ended Jewish things because they were anti-Semitic, and they were. But it wasn't really them doing it. God hardened their hearts like Pharaoh. He took the Jewish stuff. When they kicked the Jews out, God took all the Jewish revelation from them. He took the Jewish revelation. God showed me that he took the Jewish stuff out of the church. That's not your fault. Say, it's not my fault. it's their fault. They did it to you. These church fathers, they did it to you. If you didn't understand your Jewish roots growing up, it's not your fault. It's not your pastor's fault. It's not your grandma's fault or your mother's fault. It happened. Men did it 1,800 years ago. Augustine was a big anti-Semite. He's a great theologian. Big anti-Semite. Okay, let's go on here. So, we're not one. We're getting to be one more often. It's happening more. And we're going to see what the benefit of that is. In verse 15, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, the hatred, which is the Torah of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, shalom. So that when he abolished the curse of the Torah, so that Jews could fellowship with non-Jews and eat together and not be risk punishment of death and things like that. There were penalties under the Torah. When God abolished those curses and said, the spirit of the law of life in Messiah has set me free from the spirit of sin and death. When God abolished the curse of the law, then Jews were free to fellowship with non-Jews like Peter and Cornelius and so on and so forth, and Paul the jailer with him and Silas, you know, he went to his house and ate. They were free to be, you know, to do that. And verse 16, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity, the hatred. There was hatred between Jew and non-Jew, enmity. But that's, God's taking that away. He's taking away that hatred. Amen? And he came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens. You are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Messiah Yeshua himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building is being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. If we haven't been together, are we being built together? If we haven't been together, are we being built together? No. If we're living stones, right? And if we haven't been for 1,800 years, if we haven't been together, are we being built into a holy temple together? If we're not together, but you're here, so you've already figured it out. You've won the battle. You made it, huh?
It's beginning,
right? It's beginning. Amen. Amen. It is a beginning. Yes. But and he's going to do it. In verse 22, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. If we're not being built together, if we're not worshiping together, if we're not doing things together like we did with the church last night, then we're not being built into a dwelling place of the Spirit. We're not seeing the fullness of what God can do amongst his people. You want to see revival? You want to see the great outpouring of God? I'll go back, please, to John 10. And this is where the people have to get this, and you need to share this with your friends. People don't understand one when God says he made the two into one. John 10, 14. " I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. One flock with one shepherd. So he's sitting there in Jerusalem. It's winter time. It's around Hanukkah. And he's telling his Jewish sheep, I have sheep from another fold, the church, Gentiles. I must bring them. And together, you will be one flock with one shepherd. Amen? You will be one flock with one shepherd. Well, most people think that means that we're all going to be the church. One flock. One shepherd. We're all going to be the church. Okay, turn to John 17. And don't get upset with me. I'm just sharing truth here, and it's not me, I'm sharing the word. This is what the word says. John 17:17. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, and they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word. That's us. We believe through the word. And that they may all be one. Well, what does that mean? That we may all be one. Are we all supposed to wear the same shirt? Are we all supposed to wear, ladies supposed to wear the same dress and the same shoes? Are we all supposed to join hands and tie our wrists together and eat the same beans and rice? What does it mean? We're supposed to be one. Well, let's read on. That they may all be one. Even as you, Father, are in me, verse 21, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe you sent me. Okay, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe. What's going to bring the revival of the world? When Jew and Gentile, Messianic Jew particularly, believing Jew, and non-Jew, Christian, are one in unity. Let's go on. I'm not going to give it away. I in them, you in me, verse 23, that they may be perfected in unity. There it is. What does one mean? It doesn't mean that we all wear the same clothing. We all wear the same green suit. We all wear the same jewelry. We all have the same watch. We have the same drive, the same car. We all live in the same building. Like, we all live in a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine. And our friends, we're all aboard. Many more of us live next door. Sorry, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about us being perfected in unity. That you are who you are. You are individuals. You are different. We are still people. One tribe, many colors. Amen. Not just the Jewish tribe, the blue tribe, but we got the pink tribe, and we got the brown tribe, and the yellow tribe, and the orange tribe. But yet we're all in unity, just like this blanket here, right? And we're all in unity with each other, like Joseph's coat of many colors. Amen? We're all in unity, just like this blanket is one. It's one blanket, right? But it's many colors, many tribes, one tribe, many people. Hallelujah. Capiche? So when he says, I am Father, I am in you, and you are in me, he's not saying, he's not the Father. Is Jesus the Father? If he is, how could he be the Son? If he's the who, can he give birth to himself? No, he can't. the Father is the Father, the Son is the Son, and the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? Raise your hand if you believe that. The Father is the Father, the Son is the Son, and the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. They're in unity. They are in unity. And it's Jesus said, Yeshua said, I have given all authority to the Son. All my the Father's authority, that the gray-haired guy in Daniel 7 who's seated on the throne, and then he sees one like a son of man coming in the clouds, and he says to him was given a kingdom and great glory and power. He's talking about the Son. And then Yeshua said, I must go, but I send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will lead you into all truth. There are three different persons. Amen? Three different persons. Okay. So this is the key to this is the key to world revival right here. That we be in unity so that the world may believe. So when he says, I pray that we are one, if you go back to Ephesians 2, where it says, the wall of partition has been torn down, making the two groups into one, doesn't mean we are one group. We are many groups in unity. In unity. Amen? You guys don't seem too excited about that. I don't know. That's the key to revival. That's the key to revival. The unity is the key to revival. And if the church and the Messianic Jews don't come together in unity, you know what? Revival will come somewhere else. If we don't come together here, you think this place is revival? You think this is a revival region right now, the way it is? Are you happy with it? Is this enough of God for you here? In this region? Are you getting enough of God? Would you like to see more? Raise your hand if you'd like to see more of God in this region. Amen. So how do you propose it? Who has a better suggestion? Anybody? Than what the Bible says? Who has a better... Jew and Gentile coming together, celebrating, and not... A lady said to me last year on Passover, she said, Rabbi Joe, are you having Passover on the day? Is your congregational, your big Passover, is that on the day of Passover? And I said, no, ma'am, it's not on the day of Passover. It's during Passover, but we couldn't work it out. It's like a Monday night. The Seder was a Tuesday night. We couldn't have people come on a Tuesday night. They wouldn't come out. So we're having it on Saturday night. She said, oh, if you're not having it on the day of Passover, I won't come. Is God more interested in us having the Passover Seder on the day? Or is he more interested in us coming together and celebrating Passover? And Hezekiah, would somebody look up Hezekiah's Passover for me? Dawn, could you look that up? King Hezekiah, he tore down the high places when he became king. And you know what he did? Hezekiah, the northern kingdom had been destroyed. So you know what Hezekiah did? He sent messengers to the north. And he told them, we invite you back to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. He sent messengers. What verse? What chapter? 2 Chronicles 30. Look in 2 Chronicles 30. Verse Okay. Verse 1. Now Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters. Well, first of all, now Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover to the Lord God of Israel. For the king and his princes and all the assembly in Jerusalem had decided to celebrate the Passover in the second month. What month is Passover normally celebrated? First month, on the 14th day of the first month. So why is Hezekiah telling the people, we'll celebrate it in the second month? Well, let's read on. Since they could not celebrate it at the time, the normal time, because the priests had not consecrated themselves in sufficient numbers, nor had the people been gathered to Jerusalem, thus the king was right in the sight of the king and all the assembly, so they established a decree to circulate a proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, from north to south, or north, south to north, that they should come to celebrate the Passover to the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem a month late. For they had not celebrated it in great numbers as it was prescribed. The couriers went throughout all Israel and Judah with the letters in hand of the king and his princes, even according to the command of the king, saying, O sons of Israel, return to the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, that he may return to those of you who escaped and are left from the hand of the kings of Assyria. Do not be like your fathers and your brothers who were unfaithful to the Lord God of their fathers, so that he made them a horror, as you see. In other words, God judged the northern kingdom because they worshipped Baal and Asherah. They had calves, golden calves, and they didn't celebrate. They changed the holidays, and God judged the northern kingdom and destroyed most of them, died. But he left a remnant of the people, and after the judgment came, Hezekiah sent messengers and said, don't be like your fathers. Come back to Jerusalem. Now do not stiffen your neck like your fathers, but yield to the Lord and enter his sanctuary, which he has consecrated forever, and serve the Lord your God, that his burning anger may turn away from you. For if you return to the Lord with your brothers, and your sons will find compassion before those who led them captive and will return to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate, will not turn his face away from you if you return to him. So the couriers passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh and as far as Zebulun, but the people laughed at them and to scorn and mock them. Nevertheless, some men from Asher, the so-called lost tribes, Manasseh, so-called lost tribe, Zebulun, so-called lost tribe, humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. The hand of God was also on Judah to give them one heart to do what the king and the princes commanded by the word of the Lord. How many people were gathered at Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread in the second month? A very large assembly. They arose and removed the altars that were in Jerusalem, and they also removed the incense altars, in other words, the pagan altars. They cast them into the Kidron Valley. Then they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the second month, a month late. This is a picture of the church and the Jewish people coming together. This is a foreshadow of the church and the Jewish people coming together. This is a type. The split kingdom, the divided kingdom, is a picture of the Jews and the church today. That's what it is, a picture of the Messianic Jews and the church, not people who claim to be Israelites that are not. That's not what it is. It's not a picture of Messianic Jews from Judah and groups who claim to be Israelites who are not. What it is a picture of Messianic Jews and people who are the church, the real church. Now, what about those groups out there who pretend to be Jewish? What are they? are churches. If you're not Jewish, if you're not Jewish, and the oracles of God were entrusted to the Jews, isn't that what Romans says? The oracles of God and the Torah was entrusted to the Jewish people. Ten Commandments, Moses, wasn't it all entrusted to the Jews, right? Right? Yeah? It was entrusted to the Jews, right? The feasts belonged to the Lord, but he gave them to the Jews, right? Israel belongs to the Lord, but he gave it to the Jewish people, right? Who took over Israel in 1948? The Palestinians? The Israelis, the Jews. Who, you know how I know I'm a Jew? Hundreds of my ancestors were burned and gassed in the ovens and burned. That's how I know I'm a Jew. Okay? That's how I know. Were your ancestors burned and gassed in the ovens? And in the showers? Gassed with Zyklon B and sent to the ovens? Were they? Were your ancestors? Okay, then you're probably not Jewish. But that's okay, because God loves everybody. God loves the church. God loves non-Jews. You don't have to be Jewish. Amen? That's the beauty of this whole thing, is that God wants us to come together. Thank God your ancestors weren't burnt in the ovens like mine. Thank God your ancestors didn't showers. We're told they were going to have showers and were poured out Zyklon B gas. Thank God your ancestors weren't murdered and you can trace your families back 100, 300 years or so. I can't. My lineage stops as far as my grandfather can remember. And he died in 1992. That's how far back we can remember. Okay? It's pretty lonely being a Messianic Jew. It's lonely being a Jew. It's even lonelier being a Messianic Jew. But you see here in Chronicles, Hezekiah celebrated Passover a month late. But people get legalistic. Like Christian people who don't even, it's not even their holiday. God, it's a Jewish holiday that God entrusted to the Jews. Why did he give it to us as a tool to invite the Gentiles in to come and worship the God of Israel together so that we'd be perfected in unity so that the world might believe? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So that the world might believe that we would come together in unity, loving one another, celebrating his feast. Doesn't matter if it's on the exact day, but that we do it together, not apart. Amen. We are not a house, a holy temple of God being built apart, but together. When we come together, we are not a temple, a dwelling of the Holy Spirit, if we're not being built together. All we are is a building here and a building there and 50 people in this church and 100 in that one and 400 in this one. And there's no revival like the book of Acts. And I'll close with this scripture from Esther chapter 4. She had, by the way, Esther was the queen. And the people, all the people of the Persian Empire, all the Jews of the Persian Empire, their lives depended on what Esther did. She had their lives in her hand. And her, what she did by going to the king and telling the king of Mordecai's, of Haman's plot to kill the Jews, saved the Jewish people. By the courage, unlike the cowardly sheriff who wouldn't go in and shoot and fight the bad guy in the school in Parkland, Florida, Esther did go in, risking her life. She went in. Everybody say she went in. Risked her life, because if the king didn't extend the golden scepter, she would have perished. And she put her life on the line, and she saved the Jewish people. What the leader of a nation does can determine the fate and the lives of all the people. And we people talk about our leader and leaders of their nations like they're trash. The same principle that applied to Queen Esther applies to all the leaders of nations today. And you trash your leader, your king, your president, your prime minister, whatever country you come from, within the power of the tongue is life and death. Okay, so Mordecai said to Esther, you have a choice. Do not imagine that you in the king's palace. See, the church is Esther today. And they have the ability to save the Jewish people. God's given the church the Esther anointing. Remember I said you were beautiful and that God sees you wearing beautiful robes, royal robes? God sees you like Queen Esther. And the church, he sees like Queen Esther and beautiful robes. And the church is like Esther. Esther, do you think she hid her Jewishness from the king? She hid it. So if she hid her Jewishness, do you think that means she went to the pagan temple with her king, with her husband, even though she didn't worship? Oh, I think she went. I just think she didn't worship. You think if he wanted to go to his pagan temple, she went with him. It doesn't say she disobeyed him. Vashti, remember Vashti?
Yeah.
Bring me a sandwich. Queen Vashti, he called her to come to his presence. She wouldn't come. He cut her head off. And then he regretted it after he got over it. Esther did what the king said. The only thing the Bible tells us that she did differently is she didn't eat. She ate special food. She had favor with her eunuch, and he gave her special, probably kosher food. That's the only thing she did differently. Everything else, the king didn't know she was Jewish, so she wasn't living like a Jew, was she? If the king didn't know she was Jewish and she hid it from him, then she couldn't possibly be living like a Jew. Right? I mean, it's pretty obvious that we're living like Jews. People look at us coming in here on Saturday wearing this funny stuff and wearing these things, and they know we're strange in this neighborhood. And people who know me in this town know, most people who know me, that's Rabbi Joe, that weird Jewish guy. I'm just kidding. But they do know. Because I'm Jewish. I'm not hiding it. There are Jews in this town who hide it. There are plenty of them. They don't want you to know. They don't want trouble. They don't want anti-Semitism. They don't want people to throw rocks through their windows. It happens. They don't want that stuff. So they hide their Jewishness. I don't. Come break my windows, I'll call the police. Come in my house at 12 o'clock at midnight, I'll pull out my Ruger and my Glock, and we'll have a meeting. Praise the Lord. This is what Mordecai said. Do not imagine that you in the king's palace, you the church, I speak this to the church. Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. Do not imagine, Christian, that you can escape any more than all the Jews. You think you're going to be raptured, you're not going to be raptured any more than all the Jews, unless you help the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty, O Christian, for such a time as this. God sees you in royal robes, priestly robes, princely robes, princesses. Don't take it for granted, Esther. You are Esther today. And the king of Haman is back. And he wants to kill the Jews. And what will you do? Will you try to help save the Jews? Will you risk your life to go before the king? Would you take a Jew into your house, risking your life or your family's, and hide them in a time of persecution? Would you be willing to do that? To save a Jew? You know, how many people from Holland can you name besides Anne Frank during the Second World War? How many people? Corrie ten Boom. Why Corrie ten Boom? Why? Her family hid Jews in the Holocaust, right? How many other Dutch folks can you remember from the Holocaust? Name one. There you go. What about a Czechoslovakian businessman named Oskar Schindler? How many Czechoslovakians people do you remember from the Holocaust besides Oskar Schindler? Not too many, right? Why? Because he risked his life to save the Jews. And so did Esther, so did Mordecai. And if we remain silent, salvation for the Jews will come from somewhere else. And my last word is this. When people play Jewish and they confuse Christians to thinking that, oh, I'm going to learn about the Jewish things and go to this group and celebrate the Sabbath, they're taking people away from the Jewish people. When groups pretend to be Jewish, it's true. When Christians pretend to be Jewish and call themselves without any proof or any, you know, any calling, without ordination, without covering, without having been sent, without having been sent out with laying of hands or blessing from authentic Jewish people, when they do that, do you know what they do? They hurt the Jewish people. They hurt the Jewish community. Because they pull naive, innocent people who don't understand the word into something that they think they're getting fed, they're getting the truth. In reality, what are they getting? They're getting Jewish Christianity. That's not what God's after. Otherwise, remember the two folds? There has to be a messianic Jewish fold and a church and unity so that the world might believe. There has to be. This is the only time in history. There has to be a messianic Jewish community and a church, a remnant of the church, of true believers. It's not about days. Hezekiah did it a month later. It's about the heart. It's about the heart, not the day. It's about the heart, not the garment. It's about the heart, not the menorah, not the shofar, not the food. If you want to keep kosher, God bless you. I'm going to tell you something. You ain't going to get any brownie points with God for eating kosher. I don't see it in the Bible. I don't see where it says it. It's good. It's better diet. It's healthier to eat kosher. But I don't see where God says I'm going to give brownie points for people that eat kosher. I'm not against it. I'm just saying. People do it to please God. It's like the Galatians. They do these things. We have to have the two perfected in unity. As Sharon said, it's a beginning. But you know what, Sharon? I've been here 19 years. 19 years. It's time for it to be more than a beginning. And you know what? My forefathers have been doing it for 50 years. It's time for it to grow more than it has. Jubilee. What? Jubilee. Jubilee now. Yeah. Amen. Amen. This is the 70th year of the State of Israel. A lot of people believe. I believe it's starting to happen. I believe it's starting to happen. I'm not, don't get me wrong. I love the church, the ones who are doing Constantine's Christmas and Easter. because I need to be perfected in unity with them. And I love the folks who play Jewish. I don't play Methodist, and I don't play Episcopalian. But if they want to play that stuff, as soon as anti-Semitism comes, they'll put their Jewish stuff away. As soon as anti-Semitism comes, they'll take the tzitzit off. And they'll go back to being with Christians. As soon as anti-Semitism hits, you watch. I've given you everything that I can tell you about it. I could go on, but I've made my point. So let's stand up, and I'm going to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha. Vayesem lecha shalom." May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And may the Lord heal our brother Earl there. Let's all stretch our hands out to him. We just pray healing for Earl, strength, that he would have no vertigo and that he wouldn't fall. We just pray for strength and that he would live out his days strong and healthy. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen. We already did. Yeah, he did. Shabbat Shalom. Greet one another. We have Oneg next door. I'm sorry I went long, but this needs to be said because people are confused. And when I meet confused people, I have to teach it. Amen. So pardon me if I repeated myself, but line upon line, precept upon precept.